Yeah, I was going to say to that point, I think that's the piece on the survey that we saw, right? 52% of Gen Z and roughly 37% of shoppers, but 52% of Gen Zers, right, would switch to a retailer that offers full checkout-free stores. That's an interesting insight. I think it might differ across certain retail segments, but I think we're definitely seeing in some of the survey results on that survey we did that Gen Zers have a higher propensity of wanting to automate and self-checkout, which I think, to your point, building the future of retail, it's an important discussion.
Retail Unwrapped is a weekly podcast hosted by Robin Lewis and Shelley Cohan from The Robin Report. Each episode dives into the latest trends and developments in the retail industry. Join them as they discuss interesting topics and interview industry leaders, keeping you in the loop with everything retail.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining our weekly podcast. I'm Robin Lewis, founder and CEO of The Robin Report, along with my podcast partner, Shelley Cohan. We warmly welcome today a good old friend of mine, Bill Toney, who is a vice president of Global Food Solutions at Avery Dennison, and along with Michael Butensky, managing director, Accenture Retail Strategy, North America Store Operations Head at Accenture, on the topic of frictionless shopping. And we're ready to go.
Thanks, Robin. Glad to be here. Yeah. Looking forward to always talking about retail. So exciting.
Us too, Bill. Thank you so much. And you too, Mike.
Thank you. It was nice to meet both of you.
Likewise, very much so. So, Bill, to start off, as you well know, the retail industry is under pressure, to say the least, these days. And there are a lot of macro and micro environmental factors impacting the entire industry. And I know you and Michael have some great advice for our listeners. And so, Michael, tell us about some of the macro challenges out there, if you will.
Yeah, certainly. First, let me start by saying thank you for having me on the podcast this afternoon. I've been following the Robin Report for many years, so I appreciate the ability to join you here today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So to answer your question, there are many challenges that are facing retailers today. I will speak to those particular challenges that are focused on brick and mortar retail specifically. Mm-hmm. And I will share three. This isn't an exhaustive list, but the three that they bubble to the top for me are: one, labor shortage; two, shrink; and three, relevance and differentiation. So with respect to number one, labor shortage, we've all heard about the wage inflation that's been impacting many industries, in particularly retail, for the last several years. Despite this wage inflation, frontline wages are still relatively low. Secondly, there are many reports that have suggested that frontline workers are not very satisfied with their roles as they exist today. And thirdly, which partly is related to that job satisfaction, is that many retailers today lack future career prospects for these frontline workers. So because of this, this is all contributing to the labor shortage that's happening today in retail, where many of these frontline workers are going elsewhere into other industries.
Yeah. No, go ahead and finish your list and then I'll pipe in.
Okay, perfect. So the second one that I'll share is shrink, right? Some will call it shortage. It's the difference in what you're supposed to have in inventory in your store versus what you actually have. And there are many potential root causes of these losses, but some of the major things, and again, key headlines that we've seen in retail for this year include theft, fraud, waste and spoilage, and even just process and admin errors that are happening. And then the third big bucket here that I'll talk about is relevance and differentiation. There is a changing of expectations for both guests and team members. We can call them customers and associates, that has happened for many years, but especially been exacerbated since COVID a couple of years ago, or a few years ago. Whether it's making jobs more accessible for team members, or it's changing the shopping experience for the guests, retailers need to find a way to keep evolving to these changing expectations in order to make sure that they are able to attract, engage, and retain the right talent, as well as also to make sure that they can continue to get the shoppers across the leasehold line, both physically and digitally.
Yeah. I mean, well, I like what you said at the beginning, which is it's multifaceted. There's so many issues that, you know, and these are just three large ones. And the other thing that I think has been really impacting the industry is competition is so intense now. It's very intense, yeah, especially in the US market, but also globally. The world has gotten smaller, right?
Absolutely.
So, Michael, how can retailers, you know, look to really stay competitive in this super competitive marketplace?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. So there are a number of different ways that retailers can address these challenges, plus many other challenges that exist I just didn't get a chance to mention today. And some of these opportunities include technology. One specific technology that's been around for a while that's really gaining a resurgence over the last several years is RFID.
Oh, yes.
If I think back to my first encounter with RFID, it's back when I used to work for Lord & Taylor. And Lord & Taylor used it. And for those that aren't familiar with Lord & Taylor, regional department store in the Northeast. But with that said, they used it to... Oh, sorry, Robin.
No, I didn't say, what years were those, Michael?
I was at Lord & Taylor from 2010 to 2012 as a consultant, and 2012 to 2014 as an internal member of the team.
Well, try 1980, when I was head of strategy at VF Corporation. RFID was around then as well, although a lot more expensive and costly. Anyway, little context there.
Totally. But what I was going to share is that 10 years ago, when I first encountered it, back then, RFID was in only roughly a third of retailers today.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if you look at, you know, the last couple of years, it's roughly 95% of retailers who are using RFID in some way, shape, or form today.
Wow.
And yeah. And Robin, I think you hit one of the key pieces of why that is today. Certainly, one, the costs or costs of RFID have come down based on all the advancements in technology. That's for certain. But the other key piece that's often overlooked with respect to RFID is its use cases beyond inventory management.
That's right.
And that's really where our retailers get the true effects out of the business case, or the true impacts out of the business case. When you think about not just the lower costs of RFID today versus what some individuals may think of costs, you know, historically, but it's also the ability to do more than just inventory management. Things like self-checkout and theft mitigation, and even guest experiences, like how you can use it in the fitting room, right? There's a very long list of additional use cases, but when you bring those things together, that's really where you get the compounding effect of being able to drive a much more robust business case for RFID.
Yeah, Michael, you hit some very good points there. And now 95% of retailers into it is a really remarkable. So, yeah, RFID is finally taken off. So you can kind of tell us about the growth of RFID and maybe touch upon how the technology has changed. I know you just gave a few examples of these things, but anything you can add to that?
Yeah, I'll get us started, and then I'll pass it over to Bill, who'll talk in a bit more detail about those. Okay. Some of the advancements in technology are changes to the actual RFID chips and how they are used, whether they are embedded in a hang tag or embedded in garments, And then also the capabilities of the different technology to pick up on these tags. So historically being able to read only 10 feet away, now being able to read tags up to 30 feet away.
Yeah.
And then the last piece I'll mention here is that, you know, when we think about RFID, we're thinking traditionally more along like the Lord and Taylor days, we're thinking soft goods. But yep. RFID is now starting to get into the world, and it has been over the last several years, of looking at other types of products that can be attached to that traditionally, you know, it wasn't such a good fit for, like liquids or other dense types mm-hmm. of materials or metallic type of products. But Bill is the guy that certainly knows that the details on RFID that can share a bit more there as well.
Yes.
Yeah, no, thanks, Michael. I think the 90-95% was a study that Accenture did, right? That was a US-based number, is that right?
That's correct, about 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a survey, I think, that Accenture did. Yeah, I think what's interesting is RFID really is kind of been a technology that's done three things in retail, and in particular retail apparel over the last 15 years or so. And number one, it automates. So as you see that labor shortages are a macro trend that we're seeing in retail, RFID allows you to automate a process and do things a lot faster. So the one thing I like to say about RFID, there's multiple parts of RFID. You've got NFC, which we use with like Apple Pay, which is close, you know, touch. But we're talking about UHF RFID, which is what we call a one-to-many technology, which allows you to collect a lot of data very quickly. So as you see things like inventory and being able to move from roughly 65% item level inventory to 95, 98, 99%, that's all done with the technology in RFID by automating that process and using things like radio waves to capture that data very quickly. So when you look at things like self-checkout, how do you make that self-checkout process faster? RFID allows you to do that. Just like when you do inventory and you collect the inventory faster, it allows you to do that from an automation perspective, which is one key attribute of RFID. The other really key attribute that's becoming more and more important today with the advent of AI and machine learning technology is serialization. So now with RFID, if you've got three pair of jeans and they're all the exact same pair of jeans, every pair of jeans is serialized. So you know exactly, you've got a blue 32, 34 boot cut, in seam, out seam. You know all the product attributes from an inventory perspective, which allows you to make sure you have the right product at the right place at the right time for the consumer, which is super important. Yeah. But now with retailers looking to use the power of data, having those product attributes as part of their data strategy is becoming really, really important. In particular, as we look at new segments like grocery and food, where you have something that apparel doesn't have, which is expiration dates. And so having all those product attributes is super important.
That would be big for the beauty industry too, right, Bill? Because they have all the products that have SPF that expire and, you know.
Exactly. Because it's interesting. So historically, we focused on the inventory accuracy, again, which is super important for omnichannel, consumer experience, et cetera. But now when you look at data, now you get more data to say, okay, they're buying this particular type of product, but what are the attributes of that product that might be a reason why they're buying that product, right? Which is super interesting and super important. And again, for grocery, having the expiration date is critical because to reduce food waste and optimize that, think about a world where you could give the consumers a day or two more shelf life. Another really important metric that could really help optimize operations and reduce food waste. So I think those are the key things that we're looking through. Automation, better data, as you're starting to put better data strategies together, are really the two key things. And then I think the third is a shift of what we call an enterprise P&L model. So RFID is pretty unique in the sense that it touches so many parts of retail. It touches stores, it touches supply chain, it touches the digital team, the omni team, sourcing. It touches so many parts of the organization. It's really a solution that impacts the enterprise P&L of a retailer. And many times people look at just the benefit within their domain, but it goes so horizontal. That's another piece that, we spend a lot of time and, working with partners like Accenture on is how do you really relook at this and think about retail from an overall enterprise impact and not just a, supply chain impact or a retail store impact or an omni impact. So I think that's the other really interesting thing that is happening. And one good validation point of that, again, we referenced the Accenture white paper they did a couple of years ago. They actually showed in their survey based on retail feedback in the US was that you see about a 20% improvement in ROI when you're working on more than five things across omnichannel. So you're doing ship from store, you're doing buy online, pick up in store, you're doing many other processes. Accenture survey said that the more processes that you do and use this technology more horizontally in the retail enterprise, the bigger the ROI and the impact. And I think that's another reason why RFID has been a hot topic, is there's so many possibilities and things you can do with the technology outside of inventory is becoming, you know, becoming very impactful.
Yeah, I love this. Yeah, go ahead.
I would say it's an exciting time in retail. You know, I mean, I know that at the Robin Report, you talk a lot about this, but this new transformation is actually really exciting. I mean, it's fun.
Oh, it is. Yeah, most certainly is. Very disruptive on the other hand. I mean, it's a challenging, major way.
Well, I think the other thing, Bill, that you mentioned is, so Robin and I always talk about this all the time. Retailers have never been really quick to pick up on technology. Yep. And so they have to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And then once all the use cases are built, then like everyone wants it. So, you know, like you said, RFID has been around for a while, but now, you know, when you think about the product attributes, that's like amazing. And that can really drive a business in a different, you know, direction. The ROI of 20%, Michael, that's a crazy statistic on that. So, you know, those are all positives. So one of the things I think, Bill, maybe we can kind of talk about, because this has kind of been a topic that's been out there and I've heard, seen use cases on, yes, it's a great, no, it's not great, yes, it is, no, it's not. So I really love to get your opinion on self-checkout. So tell us a little bit about that and where are we today on self-checkout?
Yeah, I think it's a great topic. I mean, one of the things we are seeing emerging is a lot of discussion about self-checkout and really automating the checkout altogether. So how do we create a better, faster checkout experience is something we find really important. We actually did a survey recently where it was a UK-based and a US-based survey where we're asking consumers about how they would see, you know, a faster automated self-checkout. And 37% of the respondents, 52% of Gen Z, actually, of shoppers, would switch to a retailer that offered a full checkout solution, right, that we think was a pretty material impact on how you should be thinking about it. 52% said they could, they would go to stores that could make the shopping experience much faster. So we think that's another big impact. And 45% of shoppers, and again, 52% of Gen Zers say they would switch to a self-checkout service where products are automatically detected with technologies like RFID. So they're actually doing barcode scanning. So this automation, I think consumers are wanting to get in the store, but they're wanting to see how they could do things a little bit faster, more convenient, not wait in lines. So we're starting to see this trend in a pretty big way. I know that, you know, folks like Uniqlo have been public where they talked about 50% savings on some of the transaction time with RFID and their self-checkout process. So I think this is going to be a big trend. Again, we talked about automation. How do you automate? So it'll reduce shrink. It'll automate the process. So NPS and consumer experience is impacted. Labor is impacted in a positive way. And you eliminate, you know, simple mistakes that consumers can make in a self-checkout.
Yeah, Bill, you know, the use case for self-checkout is really strong. You know, Walmart's been testing it over and over again, as have many other retailers, but it's going to grow and, you know, grow fast because, right, the younger generation wants it. And they, like everything else that consumer, it's going to drive what retail has to do. So, you know, and even, it will probably be even more significant as Gen Alpha grows into the next largest consumer group. This generation already has something like $300 billion influence on spending through their parents, and they are even more tech savvy than their predecessors. So, Bill, can you kind of explain? Go ahead. What?
Yeah, I was going to say to that point, I think that's the piece in the survey that we saw, right? 52% of Gen Z and roughly 37% of shoppers, that 52% of Gen Zers would switch to a retailer that offers full checkout-based stores. That's an interesting insight. I think it might differ across certain retail segments, but I think we're definitely seeing in some of the survey results on that survey we did that Gen Zers have a higher propensity of wanting to automate and self-checkout, which I think, to your point, building the future of retail, it's an important discussion.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if I can layer there, right? So I think you're building on, Bill, a key piece of what ultimately self-checkout business cases are built on. You break it down to three things: sales, labor savings, and shrink, right? Those are the three key pieces of a self-checkout business case. Two of those are often overlooked. Labor is always the one that people are thinking about, but the two that are often overlooked are sales and shrink. But if we talk about sales for a second, specifically those customers that have become accustomed to self-service and automation, the younger generations of the Gen Zs and the Gen Alphas, they're not really accustomed to standing in line. And so what ends up happening and how you can build your business case is factoring in queue abandonment, especially in those stores that have or that are challenged with front end labor, opening up more self-checkout lanes to accommodate that, to accommodate those customers or those guests is really one way to address the queue abandonment and ultimately increase conversion. Something else, Bill, that you mentioned is another key reason, though, for how or another key way that RFID can help us here in the self-checkout journey, which is the errors that self-checkout is prone to. There, I have a couple of key things I want to share here with the team, which is one, earlier, or not earlier, but last year, 2023, Accenture did a project with another retailer where we used RFID as a tool to help identify specifically in this retailer's self-checkout locations when shrink was happening. And how it was happening. And what we identified was that more than 75% of the loss events that were incurred in the self-checkout lanes were due to incorrect scans, missed scans, or even staffing errors.
Wow.
Errors. 75% of the loss that's happening through self-checkout. Another key stat that I want to share with you is from a colleague by the name of Adrian Beck out of University of Leicester in the UK. Who did a study on self-checkout and shrink a couple years back, which identified that roughly half of the losses incurred by self-checkout are non-malicious in intent.
That's crazy.
Oh.
That's an amazing number. So Bill, just to go back, if you could kind of like step back for a second. So we're talking about self-checkout. But for our audience and our listeners, can you tie together for us the self-checkout plus the RFID and why combining it is so powerful as opposed to just self-checkout? So I think we need to clarify with our listeners, self-checkout or self-checkout powered by RFID. I think they're different, right?
Yeah, it's a great clarification question, Shelley. I think, today when you go to self-checkout, obviously the key thing is consumers are barcode scanning, right? Everything they're checking out. And in the future, we envision a world where the consumers don't need to do that, right? They're walking in some fashion, the RFID technology is being read by the checkout system. And that could be self-checkout, or it could be manned or person checked out, right? Associate checked out. It could be either way. But RFID, just like, again, going back to inventory, it's read by radio waves. So you can automate that process where it's a frictionless checkout for the consumer. They don't need to scan the barcode. They put everything in a bin, kind of like you see at retailers publicly, like Decathlon and Uniqlo. It reads it and you check out, right? And you walk out of the store and everyone's happy. So it's a much faster experience for the consumer. They don't need to scan barcodes. As Michael said, you eliminate that possibility of someone making an honest mistake. And you really simplify it for the consumer.
That's great. And then, Michael, you talked a little bit about labor optimization. So can you kind of explain how that kind of layers into this whole conversation in terms of self-checkout or RFID? How do you optimize labor with this technology?
Certainly. So I'll touch on self-checkout briefly, but then there are other use cases that RFID can help to unlock labor savings on. or labor productivity, we'll call it. So on the front end, right, we have all your checkouts today. For those retailers that do have several staffed lanes open, it's being able to potentially replace some of those lanes with self-checkout that that has that automated capability. But what ends up happening with so many retailers is that that labor savings is taken to the bottom line. And really what we've seen in the most successful retailers is taking that labor productivity and investing it elsewhere in the business, particularly on the sales floor, to really enrich those guest experiences. So it's really not a savings per se, but it's a reinvestment of those benefits back into the four walls to make sure that you are truly delivering the right experience and the right service for your guests. So that's one way. Another way is back to the inventory management capabilities of RFID and having awareness, we'll call it location awareness, of where your product is at any given time. And by having that capability in place, you reduce, I'm not going to say eliminate, but you reduce the need to conduct regular cycle counts of your different inventory, of your different product, which is a labor savings. But also having more awareness of what you have, particularly on the shelf, and having awareness of when you have lows and outs, right? When you don't have much inventory or no inventory on the shelf, notifies the team member to stock those shelves, which has shown for other retailers increased conversion, increased transaction size. And that's just based on the automation and the power of RFID.
So, Bill, I think you have some information, maybe a story about Decathlon, a company that's been using RFID in a major way. Can you tell us maybe first a little bit about the company Decathlon, what they do, and then how they're using it?
Yeah, sure. So Decathlon's a large sporting goods retailer out of France. And, they've been doing RFID and utilizing RFID for many, many years. And, they've been public about the fact that they're doing 100% RFID, including checkout at point of sale, mainly around consumer experience and making things a lot faster. So I think that's a good example of how, when you look to utilize the technology, like we've talked about from an enterprise perspective, in particular with point of sale, from an automation perspective, you can really start to harness the power of this technology in a much broader way than just inventory, which I think a lot of people are still thinking of RFID as kind of an inventory accuracy, inventory technology, but it's really much broader from an enterprise perspective. So I think, they're a good example of someone that's using this much broader, not just inventory, but in a good way, like, automating checkout.
That's great. And you're right. Using it in a more broad way makes that enterprise P&L. I love that enterprise P&L conversation, because at the end of the day, that's really who's the decision maker with rolling out RFID, right? So let's go back a little bit and talk about retail theft. I know y'all brought up retail theft and the impact, and we've heard the stories, read the news articles, we see the numbers. So going back to self-checkouts, is the threat more intense or less intense when we talk about, the self-checkouts and the RFID? Like what's the measurable impact on theft?
So back to a colleague from the UK, Adrian Beck, University of Leicester's. In that same research, it was indicated that for every 1% of sales that goes through self-checkout, a retailer can expect their shrink to increase by 1 basis point.
Wow.
Wow.
So simple math, right? If 50% of your sales go through self-checkout, you can expect your shrink to also increase by 50 basis points. It's a pretty significant amount.
Yeah.
However, there are controls or processes that you can put in place to mitigate much of those increases. It goes back to that study that I was referencing earlier around that one retailer where we tested RFID, not RFID self-checkout, to be clear. We used RFID as a tool to help identify when loss was occurring. However, RFID in that particular situation was one potential option for that retailer to invest in, to reduce so many of those errors that I referenced earlier as well.
Great.
But as you think about To go back to your, sorry, Bill, to cut you off, but to go back to your subject of theft, Shelly, right? Retail crime more generally. The common criminal isn't going, if they're going to steal something, they're not going to hop in a self-checkout line to steal something. They're just going Good to, point. They're going to conceal it and walk out the front door.
Good point.
The loss that happens in self-checkout, like I mentioned before, at least half of it is non-malicious in nature.
That's so interesting. Bill, you were going to say something?
Yeah, no, I think the other discussion around this would be something I know that like at NRF, Macy's was on a panel with some of the folks like Marshall Kay from our team, talking about how RFID, talking about enterprise expansion, how they invested in smart exits, years ago. And capturing, the serial number at the exit. And so again, tying this enterprise data together to fight things like, theft events, I think is another interesting discussion around how the enterprise impact of RFID can expand past inventory. So you have checkout, self-checkout. Now you have, digitizing your products now allows you to catch digital data about what's walking out the store that wasn't sold and, collecting theft events. And I think that's really the power of combining serialization with automation. So you serialize your product and you automate the way you capture that data faster. And from an automation perspective, you can start to really unlock a lot of really interesting insights. So another kind of tangential use case around the technology and where it's moving past self-checkout. How do you put RFID exits at the exit of the store? Was traditionally EAS would just alarm the alarm and right, that's all it would do. Now you know exactly what's happening from a product perspective. And I think that's really interesting, another big trend that we're seeing.
Well, guys, this has been an incredible conversation. I mean, it's kind of ironic when you think about it. Technology, as it advances, eliminates old practices along the way. But here is probably a half a century old RFID, and it just continues to become more and more important and much broader in what it can do for retailers and brands. And in fact, as you guys mentioned before, the cost has gone way down from RFID, because I do remember way back in the early 80s, RFID was a fairly expensive proposition for the operations group, it was simply, all of it was simply tracking inventory, but pretty unbelievable today. So what do you think the next big kind of evolutions in retail will be? Bill or Michael, either one.
Yeah, I can get us started. I think both Bill and I have started to allude to a couple of these things already. I group it into two buckets. The first one is what I would call expansion into other retail verticals. So as we think about grocery or health and beauty, other more what we'll call non-traditional retail verticals that have the ability to start using RFID given all of the technology advancements. Which is super interesting and something that we at Accenture are talking about with many of our clients today. The second one, and Bill started to allude to this one just a few minutes ago, is what I would call either connected technologies or complementary technologies. And what I mean by that is RFID on its own, great technology, and it's made a ton of advancements over the last many years, as we've already talked about. But where we're starting to see more use cases get unlocked is the combination of RFID with blockchain to help authenticate purchases, or RFID with computer vision to match individuals with the products that are on their person. Things like RFID and electronic shelf labels. There's a number of additional, what I'll call those connected or complementary technology use cases. And that's really where I see, both the expansion to other industry, other retail verticals, and these other connected technologies. That's where I see RFID going in the future. But Bill, would love to hear your thoughts as well on that.
Yeah, I think, Michael, you brought up some really good future use cases. I would just go back to this notion of two things. A, the enterprise P&L model, right? How do you how do you do the right thing for the customer and then optimize your business is really interesting. And I think the big trend around that now that everyone's talking about is AI and machine learning. And, you know, mm-hmm. like any data process is kind of garbage in, garbage out. So the more you can actually get really good data, whether it's really good inventory data down to all the proper product attributes to be able to forecast and plan at that level, really beneficial. Whether it's, you know, how you're actually going to collect that serialized data from inventory to checkout, combine the two and kind of understand what's happening with theft, really interesting and beneficial. And then keep going down the use cases, down the supply chain of getting, you know, better data scans in the supply chain, getting exit reads like we talked about from a theft perspective. But I really think that core thing is the data accuracy of what you want to do in the future. And you want to be more precise with your data. You'd be able to make better decisions faster is really, really important. And I think that's going to be the big trend of the future. The automation side of RFID is being harmonized pretty well. Now I think it's going to be the product evolution of, you know, data accuracy as we move forward with AI and machine learning in the future of retail.
But, you know, you guys are taking us through a great narrative of the real long history of RFID, as we were talking about, and all of the innovative and expansive uses of the technology. And I guess, you know, perhaps the biggest, as we've mentioned, it has lowered its cost. And more importantly, adding to the consumer shopping experience, including, you know, applications related to self-checkout. So really a fascinating snapshot of its growth. So thanks very much to both you, Bill, and Michael, you know, for spending some time with us today on a very important topic.
Absolute pleasure, Robin and Shelley. Thanks for your time. You know, I get super excited about talking about retail. So anytime, appreciate the time.
Yeah, we do too, Bill, as you know.
We love talking shop for sure.
Amen. It's a great industry.
It really is.
This was great. Thank you so much, Robin and Shelley. I appreciate it.
Thank you both. Great. You got great insight, great conversation today. So thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
And I want to thank all of our listeners once again, and also to remind all of you, if you have a particular topic that you would like Shelley and I to cover, just send me an email at robin@therobinreport.com.
Thank you for listening to Retail Unwrapped. We'll be back in 1 week with another podcast. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcast service. If you have questions, ideas for a podcast, or anything else, please contact us via therobinreport.com.